Finish the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning, so turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you remember, we were talking about those 10, I call them the teen 10 or the TNT 10, things I talked about with the teenagers, and then last week I got kind of off on a tangent on just one of them. We've already covered the first few there in verse 14 through verse 18. We talked about those. Be patient, follow that which is good, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and then last week we talked about in everything give thanks, which seems like a simple commandment, but probably one of the toughest commandments you're ever going to have to face. In everything, give thanks. And when you say that, that easy to say, hard to live. Amen. How many of you notice that there's a lot of things in the Bible that are easy to say, hard to live? And these 10 are 10 of the most difficult ones. So we stop there. So if you have your lesson, if you don't have a lesson, just raise your hand. Ken will get one to you real quick. Ken, we have a couple more. We're out of lessons? My goodness, you people, stop coming. We have too many people coming into this class. We need to stop that. Not really. Don't do that. That was just me joking. So we have an extra lesson? Okay. Thank you, George. Just right behind you, Jill. Just right behind you. There you go. Thank you very much. All right, now we got it covered. Everybody covered? Everybody got one? All right. So you can flip through the first page, because if you look at the first page, we covered be patient, follow that which is good. We talked about those two things. Then we talked about rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. So we're on the middle of that next page, page 58. By the way, this is the last in that series in 1 Thessalonians. And just like always, if you want a copy of that, you let me know. I can get you a physical copy altogether. It's like a book. That takes a lot to do that. But most of the time, if you have a jump drive or something you'd like to have that on, just get that to me some Sunday, and I will go to my computer, plug it in, and I'll print the whole thing out for you. And if you'll notice in the last part of this lesson, it even comes complete where all my notes come from, the different bibliography, all the books I use. I do a lot of reading when I do a study of this type, and so I try to give credit where credit is due. Amen? So we're on the fifth, or actually the sixth thing. If you look at your notes there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, simply says this simple little statement, quench not the Spirit, right? Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. We're talking about, obviously, with the capital there, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, not your spirit. Because, obviously, if you know anything about the Scripture, you should be quenching your spirit, right? Because your fleshly spirit has a desire for all kinds of things that, if you're like me, I'm constantly saying no to me, and the goal is this: learn to say no to self and yes to God. I know it's a simple thing to say, but that is another one of those things that is highly complicated. Look at your notes really quick. Down at the bottom of that page, quench not the Spirit. To quench the Spirit simply means to say no to the Holy Spirit and yes. Yeah, to quench means say no to the Holy Spirit and yes to your flesh. And that's the idea. It means that you ignore His promptings and choose your own way. I'm looking at this morning, and immediately came to my mind is this thought, and I want you to think about this. When I'm talking about quenching the Spirit, when I'm talking about not doing what God is prompting me to do, or doing what God is prompting me not to do, both of those things will be quenching the Spirit. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So there's two sides to this. Sometimes the two main priorities of quenching the Spirit, the two main ideas behind quenching the Spirit are this. One is the Holy Spirit is convicting you to not do something. And you ever had that still small voice saying, you shouldn't do this, this is wrong? If you ignore that voice, then you are quenching the Spirit. Or it is the same on the other side, where the Holy Spirit is saying, you should do this. Maybe it's you've got a track in your pocket and you're dealing with a waiter. This happened to me just this week, and I was trying to figure out a good moment, you know, because waiters right now, they're extremely busy. By the way, if you give a waiter a track, make sure you put some money in it. Put the tip in there, be generous, and take care of them. But maybe the Holy Spirit's convincing you to do something's right. If you don't yield to that, that's quenching the Spirit. And if you yield to the flesh and not to the Spirit, that's quenching the Spirit. When you say this a lot of times, especially when I used to deal with teenagers, they think that that means in big, giant things. Like, let's say you feel like the Lord's called you to a certain ministry, and you say, well, I don't want to do that, I'm scared about that, and it's a major thing in your life, and you quench the Holy Spirit in that. Yes, that's quenching the Spirit, but that's not normally how that happens. That's a rare thing. Normally quenching the Spirit, normally ignoring the Holy Spirit, normally saying no to God, is in a lot of little things. And I think that is more of a daily thing than a once-in-a-lifetime thing or once-in-a-year thing. I think that's a daily thing. When the Holy Spirit prompts you in the morning and the Holy Spirit says to you, and maybe not in an audible voice, but you know what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit says to you, you should get up and read your Bible. But the flesh says, but the bed is so comfortable. And another half an hour would be wonderful. Anybody else beside me feel that way sometimes in the morning? Right. And that, when you say to yourself, then I'm going to stay in the bed, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something. It is not your flesh prompting you to get up and read the Bible. All right? I used to say this to teenagers all the time. And I'm kind of in that teen mode because I had them last year and then I had them this week. I used to say this to teenagers all the time. And I wanted them to always memorize this. The devil will never tempt you to do anything good. And the Holy Spirit will never tempt you to do anything evil. You say, why do you say that? Because if it's good, that's not you, that's not your flesh, that's not the world, that's the devil. I mean, that's God, right? If you're thinking in your mind, I need to witness to this person, I need to read my Bible, I need to pray right now, I need anything, I need to get up and go to church tonight. It's Sunday night and we don't normally go, but I'm going Sunday night tonight. I feel like I should. That, can I tell you something? You don't have to question where did that come from. You understand what I'm saying? That's God. God will always, through the Holy Spirit, be convincing you to do what is right. You don't have to say, well, I don't know. Maybe that's the devil. You really think the devil's saying, get up and read your Bible? Seriously. I mean, come on. You really think the devil's saying, you need to go to church or you need to witness to this person? You know better. So you know what. And in all those little things that we don't do, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. And a lot of reason why a lot of Christians grow older and they've been saved for many years, but they're not spiritually mature, is because they spend a lifetime in little things quenching the Spirit, saying no to God. Oh, I don't think that's important. I wrote down some statements that I was thinking about this morning. Have you ever said this? Yeah, I know, but that's no big deal. Listen, if God's convicting you to do that, it is a big deal. I don't care how small it may seem, it is a big deal. Amen? Okay, have you ever said this? You know, I know I should do that, but this one time. You say things like that, you understand, when we read that passage, it's talking about that. In my mind, anytime I read that passage, anytime I think about the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, it's always involved in little things. It's never the major things. The major things I pray about. When I was a teenager and I felt like the Lord was calling me to preach, I didn't immediately say yes to God. I had to. That was just something I was like, that's not going to happen. And first I was saying no, but I continued to pray about it. I talked to my youth pastor about it. I talked to our church, our senior pastor about it. I talked to my mom and dad. My mom and dad, by the way, were not wholly for me going into ministry. My dad works in tool and die. He was a tool and die design engineer. And my dad wanted me to take on a trade because my dad was concerned about my financial welfare. And by the way, that's a good dad, right? You want your dad to be concerned about your future and how you... And, you know, when I told him I was going to go to Bible college, he was concerned, well, how much do preachers make? And I think he was thinking, well, if you do really good and you get your own TV show, you know, you'll be good. Obviously, that has not... Actually, I'm on the internet now, right now, so I'm kind of there. But we don't take up offerings and people. I don't send out prayer rags and, you know, stuff like that. But I do. Some of you, sometime I'll have to do that for an activity, my TV personality impression. I can do that very well. I'm from the South, so we're good at it. I even have the voice of God. I can do that really well. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going, what? But I had to yield to the Holy Spirit in that thing. That was a long process. And I think a lot of times when we read a verse like this, that's what we're thinking about. And by the way, yes, that's part of it. But it's the daily yielding that I think is the real problem. Because in all those little things, if it's just like any job, somebody told me a long time ago, I don't even remember who it was, the guy I used to work for, told me a long time, there is no such thing as a big job. I'm like, what? Anybody ever heard that before? There's no such thing as a big job. Every big job is just a compiled list of little jobs. And if you do all the little jobs well, at the end, you've done the big job well. Amen. And that's true. And I think the same thing is true about your spiritual growth. If you can yield to the Holy Spirit in all the little things, that's when you become a good Christian. That's when you become spiritually mature. It's not that big one-time decision. Yeah, there was a time in 1973 when I sat in a church service and the Holy Spirit said, you need to get saved, and I yielded that. I did not quench the Spirit. Praise God for that. Amen. That changed my entire life. But there's been 1,000, probably, I didn't even say 1,000. I'd say probably in the millions of times where I've had to say yes to God when my flesh was saying, you don't want to do that. That's not, you're not qualified. You don't have the skill. And yet we still quench the Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about quenching the Spirit. Look at I won't go any further than the notes, but just remember that the Holy Spirit will never tempt you to do evil, and the devil will never tempt you to good. So if you're being tempted, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, telling you to do something good, you have to determine whether that's really the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you what, if it's good, it's not the devil and it's not your flesh. So I don't know what else that leaves. Maybe somebody in here right now, the Holy Spirit's convicted you to do something, work on the bus ministry, get involved in the nursery, whatever around our church, and you're not doing it, and there's things undone. I love people, by the way, who complain about things undone in our church and they don't do anything. I want you to know, I just blow that off. Well, you know, Brother Morris, we don't have this and we don't have that in our service. Well, what do you do? Well, I don't do anything. Well, if the Holy Spirit brought that to your mind, perhaps that's what you need to be doing. And if we had everybody do it, can you imagine? I mean, I know I'm all going off on a tangent here, but can you imagine what Faith Baptist Church, I think we have a wonderful church, we have a wonderful ministry, I'm not complaining, but could you imagine what Faith Baptist Church would be if everybody in this classroom, just this classroom, we don't need all those other people, yielded to the Holy Spirit in everything? Think about that one for a minute. And then read that little four-word verse, quench not the Spirit. You have a tendency like me to read passages like this, and you read them like this, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things. That's how we normally read the Scripture. We need to stop every now and then and say, what is God saying to us in that? So get that. Look at the next thing, verse 20. Verse 20 says this, despise not prophesying. Now, just so you know, let me define some things. Every now and then I get real scholarly and I look things up in the Greek dictionary just to see, you know, if I know what I'm talking about. And pretty much 9 times out of 10, when I look things up, they say exactly what I think they mean. Anybody ever notice? And there are a few times where I'm like, oh, okay, I see what that really means. I get the idea. The word despise there means to set aside or to, here's the Greek definition, to set it aside or to despise it. Oh, so in Greek, the word despise means, well, despise. Okay? In other words, don't set it aside. Don't say, well, that's not important. Despise not prophesying. I like this definition. This is a great definition for the word prophesying. Prophesying is a discourse declaring the purposes of God by a prophet or a preacher or a teacher. I would agree with that. Would you not agree? Let me read that again. It is a discourse or a speech or a sermon, if you want to use that word. A discourse declaring the purposes of God by a prophet, a preacher, or a teacher. Basically, when somebody is taking the Word of God and teaching it, whether teaching it or preaching it or telling you what the future holds from the Word of God, I can look at the book of Revelation and tell you some things that are going to happen in the future, you're not to despise that. Now, you can imagine why this was an important verse when I was a youth pastor. Because a lot of teenagers would listen to what I had to say and say, I don't agree with that. And you hope that by the time you get to be our age and by the time you get to be, you've been saved for a long time, you don't do that. You ever find yourself sometimes disagreeing with a pastor? Can I tell you something? That's okay as long as he can't prove what he's saying from the Word of God. Once you see it in the Word of God, you can't disagree with the pastor. That's despising the prophesying of the Word of God. That's despising the preaching and teaching. There are people who I can clearly point out to them, and this has happened thousands of times, where I have clearly, you guys have heard my counseling speech where I do the Bible this way, you know, and I'm talking, and I'll say, but the Bible says, da, 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 you know, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully you. It says it right there, and they go, I know, but you don't know this person, and you don't know how hard that is. I'm not asking you whether it's hard. I'm saying that's what God says to do. Well, that's your opinion. No. It's not my opinion when I show you right here in the Bible, you read it for yourself and you say, I'm not going to do that. You know what you're doing? You're violating that command right there. Despise not prophesying. You're saying, I don't believe what God said. You're not saying, I'm just the guy who pointed it out to you. The preacher is just the guy who delivers the message. We did not write the message. Well, I don't agree with you on that. No, if I've shown you from the Bible, it's not me you have a problem with. You may think it is, but you have a problem with the Word of God. And that's what we call the spies not prophesying. I'll be honest with you. Especially when I first got saved, there were a lot of times my youth pastor would say things and I was like, really? That's wrong? Some of you remember, how many of you were saved in the 70s in a fundamental church, okay? All right. Those of you, there were a bunch of people, raise your hand. Those of you who just raised your hand, do you remember the preaching? And you remember how hard it was preaching on men with long hair? Some of you remember that? Girls with short skirt. That was a big thing. And they emphasized sometimes that so much, I was like, man, that's all they talk about. I wish they'd shut up. Right? You ever feel that way in a church? Here's my new theory. Here's a theory I developed when I was a single adult pastor. If the pastor's constantly preaching on it, don't wish he'd shut up. Do it, and he will shut up. Right? If it's in the Scripture, and he's shown you in the Scripture, and he can prove it in the Scripture, quit whining about it. You don't want to hear him say it anymore. Fix it. And you won't have a problem with it. In fact, I found out that if I did what was right, when he preached about it, it didn't bother me anymore. I didn't despise prophesying then because now I'm doing it. And people who despise prophesying typically despise the truth of Scripture. They despise it for one reason. What is it? It's going against them. They're not doing it. It inhibits their lifestyle. But I really like to do that. Well, it's really going to destroy you. You know, how many times have I talked to an alcoholic and they said something about, yeah, but a little drink, it calms me. Look, you're an alcoholic. You got a problem. I know, but I can control it. Oh, I hate it when people tell me that. Especially by the time, if you've already had problems and it's already causing financial problems, it's already causing marriage problems, it's already causing work problems, now you're in my office and you tell me now you can control it. You wouldn't be in my office if you could control it. Right? That's just silly. And most of those times, that person has disobeyed this command. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're not wise. Well, I think I am. I'm telling you, you're not. In this one area, you may be wise in a lot of other areas, but in that area, you're not wise. And I can say that because it's not my opinion. That's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, right? If you don't like that, I'm sorry. But contention is not with me. You're disobeying the Scripture. That's despising prophesying. So these little phrases, pretty good phrases. Look at the next one. The next one's really difficult. Proverbs. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. Prove all things, two things here. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. What does that simply mean? Well, when you're talking about proving all things, it means exactly what you think it was. Test it, scrutinize it. Do you realize that while I'm teaching, one of the reasons we bring a Bible to church and we encourage you to bring a Bible to church, and as a pastor, we encourage you to read the Bible. Do you know one of the reasons why that is? Yes, so you'll grow spiritually, so you'll know the truth. But so you can compare truth with truth. You should be able, when I'm teaching, to say, I agree with that because this verse says that or this verse says that, and I've seen this in God's Word. Not because I've said it. If you just take everything I say for granted, let's just be honest. What destroys more churches? Where a pastor gets up and everybody just listens to everything and he's the God of the deal? And everything he says, no. You can't prove it to me, the Scripture. I'm going to have a problem with you. And I'll be honest with you, Pastor Monty will tell you, there have been times I went to him and said, now, okay, you weren't preaching then. I don't necessarily agree with that. He said, you disagree with Pastor Monty? Yes, I will. And you should disagree with me if I teach something untrue from the Scripture. Over my ministry, I've been in the ministry now a little over 40 years, and over the ministry, there have been more than one person that's come to me after and said, hey, what you said wasn't quite right. And after a little looking and after a little studying, they were right and I was wrong. I do make mistakes. But you won't know that if you're not proving all things. if you're not studying for yourself. If you're not, the people who know more about the Bible, the people who come to me afterwards and said, I don't quite agree with that, those are people who read the Bible on a daily basis. Those are people who have been saved for a long time and listen to a lot of messages and scan with the Bible. Bring your Bible. Open that book. Read it for yourself. Make sure you know what I'm saying is accurate. Prove all things. If your church says, in Faith Baptist, if your church says, we're going to change the Constitution or we're going to change the doctrine of our church, you come to that meeting with this and you be ready. Amen? I mean, if they're going to change what they believe, I want to know why. Well, because nowadays, that's not going to work for me. You can stop talking right away. If that's how you start, well, see, that's the way you... No, Bible hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. I am the same today, yesterday, and forever, right? That's not going to change. Don't give me that. Well, that doesn't work in modern... stop talking. You want to hear it? I want to see the Bible reason you want to change. Show me that, and we'll talk. Well, what we think would be, you know, more to get more kids and younger people. Stop. I feel like I'm talking to my kids when I say that. Because every now and then they would do that. Be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. And so this is what we use, right? Now, notice the two things in the same verse. Look at the verse again. So we're to prove all things. We're to scrutinize the truth. Make sure we know what we believe. And by the way, if you're not a member of Faith Baptist Church, before you join the church, please get a constitution and bylaws and read it. We've had people come one Sunday, walk down the aisle, join the church. And I'm like, you have no idea what we believe or teach. I have copies of the constitution and bylaws right up on the end of each of these aisles. There's little booklets and we can give them to you anytime you want it. You ought to read it. You really ought to know what we believe. If you come to a church, you have no idea what they believe. Well, that's on you. Join the church and later say, wow, I don't even agree with these people. Well, you should have looked first. Okay, so prove all things. But then what's the next phrase? Not only prove it, but then what? Once you've proven this is the truth, and I see this in the scripture, talk about modern churches. Is this not a good verse? Not only prove all things, but what? What's the next? You read it. Tell me. What does that mean? I know you don't have a Greek dictionary on your lap, but if you looked it up, what do you think it's going to say? Hold fast to that which is good. What? What does that mean? Say it, Mike. It means hold fast. Exactly. If this is the truth, stay fast. I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what the modern thing is. Now, I'm all for modern air conditioning. I'm all for more comfortable seating. I'm all for a bigger parking lot. Those are not scriptural things. Those are just things to make it convenient to be here and hear the truth. Amen? So I'm not talking about that. Will the church facility change? Yeah, of course it will. Will sometimes the pastors change? Yeah, we've all been through that. If you've been saved any time, pastors come and go. Pastor Monty is unusual being here a long time. And our staff has a tendency to stay for a while. That's, by the way, your fault. You take very good care of us. And, we ain't going nowhere. We're kind of the people you got to throw out. So, and you got to have a good reason, by the way. You just can't say, you're out. Okay? You're going to have to fight me. But that's the whole point. So we have a good, strong staff. I have no idea where I was going. Hold fast. So things do change, right? Things do change in ministries. And that's okay. Look at me. Does doctrine change? No, or you could say it this way, it shouldn't. Now, I'm not saying you can't grow, and I'm not saying you can't say, you know what, here's what we thought, we've looked at this, we've scanned this, and here's really where, maybe we've got that, there's a little bit of that we've got wrong, we can change. If that's true, you better have a good Bible study for me, because I want to see it. You're going to have to prove it to me, and because I'm an old guy, and I have a tendency to hold fast to that which is good. Amen. I've seen too many people get saved by preaching the simple truth. And you say, well, yeah, they got saved. And I've seen too many of those people, their entire life changed by trusting in the truth of the scripture that we preach and teach. And I'm holding fast to it. You'll have to run me out before we start changing that. Amen. So you think about these verses. And yes, there are a lot of good verses in this little passage here, these 10 things for teenagers. But I think for us, that's probably one of the most important ones today. Everybody in here has seen churches around us completely change. If they change their program, fine. You know, that's not, but when they start changing their doctrine and what they teach from the truth of the Scripture, and they start ignoring truths that they know are true, no, that's a problem. You know, you say, well, this church, they've changed it. Now they have an orchestra. I don't care. I mean, I'm not voting for or against an orchestra. Whatever. All right. I'm more concerned with this. Right. Well, this church, they put in a slanted floor. Who cares? Nobody cares or shouldn't care. I mean, it is. I will tell you this. After my knee surgery, I found out why you don't like slanted floors. That first Sunday, I thought I was going to rock it down. You got a weak knee and you're walking down a slanted floor. I get it now. All right. I'm with some of you have complained about that. And I'm like, hey, just understand that we can't fix that. Nor would you want to if you were sitting back there with the Baskervilles right now. If the floor was not slanted, I would not see them. And they would not see me. It would be like they'd be hiding down the hole somewhere. But, you know, things are going to change, but not doctrine shouldn't change. Okay, let's move on here real quick. Last thing here, and this is a tough one. Wow. Abstain, stay away from, right? You know what the word abstain means. Don't do this. Don't do something. Abstain from. Now, it would be fine if the word all wasn't there or the word appearance wasn't there. If it said abstain from all evil, I'm good with that, right? If it said abstain from the appearance of evil, I'm good with that. But when you say abstain from all appearance of evil, I'm going to tell you something. That's difficult. That is extremely difficult. In other words, don't do that which is evil. Don't even do that which looks evil, which has the appearance of evil. When after I got saved and, you know, time moves on, everything's changed. Remember, how many of you remember when you had 1 to 3 TV channels? Some of you remember that? Yeah. And you had a very limited supply of what you could watch on TV. I remember that. Some of you even remember, you know, you turn your TV off. Some of you remember this? All of you remember that. I think that. And they turned it on and had to warm up. You remember all? Okay. So you remember what it's like. It's not like that anymore. Would you agree with me? How many of you would say, now be honest with me, how many of you say we have well over 100 channels? I'm raising my hand because it came with the package I bought. Okay? I have probably, my guess is 70 of those channels I have never even seen. I don't even know why you give me 100 channels. I can't, I'm kind of getting in a rut. If I like something, I watch that. I don't experiment with other stuff. You know, people say, have you ever seen this? No. You think I'm going to run home and watch it? Probably not. But because we have this explosion, how many of you would agree, when I was probably, I'd say in my 30s was the first time, I debated for a long time whether or not to get cable TV. Anybody know why? Why? What'd you say? Because the material's on there, and I was trying to abstain. Okay, you know where I'm going with this? To me, Back in the 80s, people who had cable TV, I thought, oh, that's kind of an appearance of evil. Because what you can do on cable TV, right? Because you can get stuff. You do know you can get bad stuff on. Did you guys know that?
No way.
I am. You probably weren't aware of it, but there's some pretty bad stuff that you can get. And to me, that was an appearance. Now, I don't do that. I have a little bit more. I still have a very slim, basic package, right? Because if I start picking up all the HBO type things, you know, I've seen enough of that to know that there's some bad stuff on there and I don't need to see that. Right? And it can affect my thinking. If it affects my thinking, it's going to affect my action. If it affects my action, my testimony goes downhill. So I'm still very careful. Has time changed? Yes. But I have to be even more careful. You know, I've talked to many men and I've told them more than once, to me, this is a wonderful instrument. It reminds me of all my appointments. It has a lot of good things, not only calendar, but texting, blah, blah, blah. Anybody would agree with that? This is a great tool. But man, this is also one of the most dangerous things you can have in your pocket. I mean, absolutely dangerous. My wife has every code and everything that you can get. She can search my history. She can do anything. She regularly picks up my... By the way, be careful what you send to me in a text. Becky reads my text. Unless I tell her, if I'm counseling somebody, I'll say, well, don't let me read that first because I only counsel men or couples. So, you know, I have to be careful with that because I don't let her read my counseling text. But yeah, if my phone lights up, Becky will pick it up and she will read it. And I don't go, oh, no, give me that. Because if I do that, I'm hoping in Becky's mind, big red flag goes, well, what do you mean? You know, what do you, right? But that's not all there is to it. You probably don't know this, but when I'm counseling with men, I always tell them, you're real funny. People sending me messages while I'm talking. That's funny, Arnie. Stop it. Okay? See my phone light up. Okay. And the rest of you, put your phones away. When I'm counseling men, I'm talking about the dangers of pornography. I always tell them, this is pocket porn. Remember when you used to have to go to a store and reach up under a counter and ask somebody for that kind of stuff? No, no. None of that now. So, Appearance of Evil took me a long time to get a cell phone. Because I was like, I don't know about that, man. I have to worry about a lot of things. And you say, you really debate over those? Yes, I do. I don't, some of you know, I don't counsel women alone in my office. I don't counsel women usually at all unless my wife is present or their husband is present. Just don't do it. I've had more than once, Becky would laugh because she's thinking probably one specific situation. And when we were at Eagledale, one of our school teachers came to my office one day and she said, can I ask you a question? And she was standing in my doorway and I said, yes. And so when I said yes, she stepped into my office, closed the door and sat down on the couch. I didn't mean to do what I did. I got up to open the door again, but I got up so fast I knocked stuff off of my desk. And got the door open, and she was like, is everything okay? I'm like, what? I felt really goofy at that point. Like, well, I didn't mean to think you were going to, but now I had to go this long explanation. I don't counsel women alone in my office, and I don't counsel them alone at anywhere with the door closed. You say, that's silly, Brother Morris. Have you ever had a problem with that? No. I've never done anything like that. Never done anything wrong in that area. You say, then what's the problem? Because I want to be 90 years old and retire and say I've never done anything wrong like that. Now, you say, are you criticizing those who do? I'm not criticizing them. I'm applying this to me. This is me. And I struggle with those. I fight those things all the time. All appearance of evil? I mean, I'm not making this up. That's what it says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I made some more lists down there. Look at your list down there. I'm talking about, when you talk about all appearance of evil, a lot of times we emphasize, and we should, sexual purity, and we should, amen? But we're talking about all appearance of evil in your conversation. What comes out of this thing? You probably don't have any problem coming out of here like I do, but I have a lot of problem. What I can say things that will come across as evil if I'm not careful how I say them, and who I say them to with the right motivation to say it to them. So yes, sexual purity is included, but so is your conversation. So is what you spend your money on. All appearance of evil. That's a tremendous verse if you think about it. Look at this little list on the bottom of the page 59 there. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter. I used to tell, here's another one of my little sayings I like, because I dealt with people with addiction problems for a long time and still do occasionally. I always told them this, no man ever fell into a ditch where he wasn't already walking too close to the edge. Now think about that for a second. If I'm walking on the, I come from South Carolina, we had a lot of ditches, I lived out in the country, you know, dirt roads and stuff. So if you're walking on the edge of a ditch and it collapses, what's going to happen? Because I've had this happen. Do you know what happens if the ditch collapses under your feet? You don't fall to the good side. That's not what happens. Because there's a thing called gravity. And if the ditch collapses under your feet, where are you going? And I know a lot of Christians that want to walk close, they say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not wrong. And they're, you know, I'm not wrong. But they make one mistake, and what happens? Now it is wrong. You know what that verse says to me, abstain from all appearance of evil? I don't want to walk there. I wonder why Christians don't do this. Where's the line? Oh, that's the line? Okay, I'm going to stay here. Because if I make a mistake, I'm here. Right? Why do you want to be so close to the edge? Well, I don't drink strong liquor, you know. But occasionally a beer or a... There's another thing I was thinking of. Wine cooler. That was the other thing somebody told me. I mean, I occasionally drink that. And I really think it means drunkenness. You know, whether you think that or not, here's my thinking. If I don't get buzzed, I won't ever get drunk. I know that's hard to comprehend for some people. Well, I don't mind occasional, but I get that feeling. I like that. Okay, but if I don't ever do that, even if I don't agree, by the way, it only means drunkenness. I believe it means abstinence, but we'll talk about that another time. But if I even believe that, why do that? I'm pretty sure I won't get drunk if I never drink. I'm being logical here. If I'm abstain, you say, well, that's not what that verse is talking about. Exactly, that is what that verse is talking about. Abstain from the appearance of it. Don't go there. Don't go here if you don't want to end up there. Does that make sense to you? Let me say that again. So if I'm going to stay here, I'm probably not going to end up there. I may end up here and I may end up here. But if I walk that line, eventually, I'm going to cross it. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you think, you will too. If I walk that line in the area of sexual purity, eventually, I'll cross it. You will too. You understand? Go back. I know we're out of time. But go back and look at those ten things again sometime. If you don't think those are major, major verses, I know they're little, tiny little verses and they don't seem like they have much power. But you try to obey those sometime. And you'll find out that that's not an easy list. That is probably one of the toughest lists in the Scripture outside of the Ten Commandments themselves. Because what that does is takes the Ten Commandments, puts it in a very practical light and says, now, if you're not going to do this, then you should also obey this. It's not just abstaining from sin, it's abstaining from the appearance of sin so that my testimony is where it can be and I can reach others for Christ. You've got to admit, I'm going to be a lot more effective if I'm following those 10 things, am I not? And you would be too. Lord, we thank you for these truths. We pray that you'll continue to help us to remember that the Holy Spirit wants to work in our hearts. Lord, I know He is, and I know there's many of us who are quenching the Spirit. There are many of us who at times despise prophesying. Lord, the church in general is not now holding fast to that which is good or proving all things. And a lot of Christians have gone to just adopting the appearance of evil. Even if they haven't done wicked things, they're right there on the edge. Help us not to be those kind of Christians, Lord. Help us to be those who stay far away, who live pure and holy lives, and have a strong testimony for our Lord and Savior. We ask it in His name. Amen. You are dismissed. Worship service will stop, start in about 15.